Well, I'm excited you're here. I hope you're excited to be here.
Amen.
Amen. I had a announcement from, it says healing service from Trinity Asbury United Methodist Church on Sunday, November 21st of 2021 at 6:30 p.m. Everyone is invited. Please join us for a time of worship, praise, and healing prayer. And that church is located on the corner of Wilkes Street and Congress Street. So if you would like to attend the healing service at Trinity Asbury United Methodist Church, that will be next Sunday evening at 6:30. Amen. Thank you, Lord. It was October, just the month of October. It's just, it's okay. It's okay. October is Pastor Appreciation Month, but I did want to say as well, that is Pastor Appreciation Month, but we appreciate this congregation. We appreciate these folks. We appreciate your giving, your heart to serve, and all that you do here at this house. And I want to honor also my elder board and those, you know, who serve with us and who make the decisions and, the spiritual guidance of the house. We are blessed, and I thank the Lord for the wisdom of that group. And each one of those have a role to play in this house. And so we honor them for that. Monty and Terry are our finance pastors. They take care of the finances of the church and see to it of all of that. And Tam and Andy are our men and women's ministry advisors, so they take care of us on that end. Lynn and Joyce are our apostolic overseers and outreach ministry from the house. Bob and Mana are our ministry of helps in the community. They feed the community twice a month, and we've done that for 37 years. We've had a God's storehouse where they have served faithfully and have served that ministry. 32 here, and they had 5 years in that ministry before they joined with our house. And so we appreciate that. Pastor Dan oversees all the building and the maintenance end of the ministry, as well as keeping me sane. That's his biggest job. Yeah. I knew that would get an amen out of the house. Amen. And then, of course, Trish and Sean are youth pastors and children's ministry advisors. And so many other ministries in the house as well are ministries of help, media, children's ministry, hospitality, kitchen, all of those who serve so faithfully in this house to make things roll along, make things work and happen like they do in the house. And so I'm appreciative of all of that, and we thank you that we are better together. Amen. That we work together, and God places us in the body as it pleases him. And every one of us have a part in ministry in this house, whether it's helping a ministry that's already established or whether the Lord lays something on your heart of a ministry. And we're so blessed that for people who just connect and give and work and just honor God with their time, their talent, and their treasures. I also want to honor our vets in the house this morning, those who have served in the armed forces and who have worked and served and fought for the red, white, and blue. Amen. For those who honor us. And if you're a veteran in the house this morning, just please stand if you served in the military. Miss Mana back there as well. We honor you this morning and thank you for your service. Some of America's finest right there. Amen. And so we're blessed. Leadership, it happens in many, many ways. Our ladies retreat was ladies of leadership. and LOL with an emphasis on laughter and being in leadership. And how many know all of us play leadership roles from time to time, whether it's in the house, whether it's with children, whether it's on the job, whether it's in business or whatever it is, we all are leaders in some way. We all are examples and set an example of what a godly Christian life should look like and a life of leadership. Amen. Leadership's not always easy, but it's necessary. That was quiet. You know, we talked about ships and shipwrecked. Remember, we talked about leadership and the kind of leadership and who you take leadership from, who you take advice, who you trust to lead you in so many different ways. But I want to talk about some things today, it really kind of in connection with our retreat, but I shared a few things, but I never totally showed everything that was on my heart with this. So I want to talk a little bit about it, but I want to talk this morning about God of the Gap. God of the Gap. And I want to talk about what we do when in between the promise and the fulfillment. I mean, you know, sometimes there's a gap. Anybody ever had a gap between the promise of God and the fulfillment of what he would bring to pass? And so, you know, there sometimes that gap can be short. Sometimes that gap can be long. And so I want to talk about what we do in between that. But the promises of God are yes and amen. And I want to talk a little bit about faith this morning. What do you think of when I say faith? Believing for something. Something you don't see yet, okay? Believing in something. Faith is the ability to believe in something and for something, right? Faith, the source of our existence as Christians, I believe the foundation of that is faith. Faith to believe. Faith to trust, faith for guidance, faith for provision. How many of can say that you have had to, at some season or some portion of your life, live by faith and say, God, I have nothing but to trust you to get me through this or to get me where I need to go? How many ever had to believe, let's say like this, how many ever had to believe God for faith in finances? Probably most of us in here at some time or season in our life had to believe God and say, God, I just have to trust you in this, that you are going to provide and that you are going to make a way where there seems to be no way. Amen? How many of you can say God came through? Yeah. Amen. How many of you ever had to believe God for health? Yeah. For problems in your health and sickness and things like that, had to believe God. Amen. How many of you had to have faith in even in your spiritual walk that God was going to bring you spiritually where he wanted to bring you as far as ministry or you know, restoring your faith or, you know, just bringing you, helping you walk through that? How many know faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right? So without faith, the scripture says it is what? Impossible to please God. And so faith is our ability to please God, is our ability to believe, amen, that God can make it happen. How many know your faith doesn't necessarily make it happen? Your faith believes that God will make it happen. And so often when we are somewhere between the promise and the fulfillment, how many know your faith sometimes can be challenged? And can we all agree probably in here that your faith has been challenged at times where you say, God, I'm somewhere in the gap. I'm somewhere in the between the promise and the fulfillment of what you have spoken, what you have promised, and what you've declared. How many know there are promises in the Bible that belong to you? Now, I believe God will specifically speak promises to you, right? I believe God will give you personally a promise or personally a calling or personally a vision or a dream or a challenge. But I believe that there are promises in the Bible that are for every one of us, for the believers, that are yes and amen. Amen. I believe that the word says by his stripes we were healed. I believe that the word says that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe that we are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus. That all that he has, that we inherited the goodness of the Father. I believe God is sovereign. I believe God is omnipotent. I believe there are promises in the bottom. I believe that the promises of God are not just to us, but they're to our generations and the generations yet to come. Amen. Amen. I believe those are promises. The promise says he would bless your seed. The promises said that he would bring us to a land that flows with milk and honey. And I think that can be physically and spiritually. Amen. We know that Jesus is our promised land. We know that he is our Sabbath. We know he is our rest, right? Those are promises that belong to us as believers. And so Psalms 100 and verse 1, it says, on your feet now, applaud God, bring a gift of laughter, sing yourselves into his presence. Anybody in here ever had to sing yourself into his presence? Two of us. Have to sing yourself into his presence. You ever get a song stuck in your heart, in your head? Amen. Yeah. And that song just plays over and over again. And sometimes God will just drop a song in your heart or just the right time. K-Love plays the one that you need. Amen. You just, the song that you need to hear today is the one that comes on the radio, right? And so it says, sing yourselves into his presence. Know this, God is God and God. God, he made us. We didn't make him. We're his people. And I like this. It says, his well-tended sheep. Well-tended sheep. He looks out after us. He carries us. He nurtures us. And I could stop and preach all day on the care of the shepherd with the sheep and how he takes the burrs out of their fur and how he anoints their head with oil and how he makes them lie down in green pastures and he leads them beside still waters. And even in those times when sheep have to cross water that is not still, that is troubled waters or the waters that are running high because of floods and the waters are not calm. The scripture said that the shepherd, or the history says that shepherd would actually stand in the water. And as the sheep were trying to cross and they're buoyant and they would kind of float and bob on the water, right? As they're trying to cross in the water, and they would get unnerved and they would get nervous, but the shepherd would stand in stream and he would push them across until they could get their feet on a rock or get their feet on sturdy place and they could get on across troubled waters. Amen. How many have ever felt the nudge of the shepherd help you get across some troubled waters in your life when things seem turbulent and when you seem like you were just bobbing up and down somewhere between this bank and that bank, but the gentle nudge of the shepherd just helps you get over till you get your feet on some solid ground. Amen. That he'll help a cast down sheep, that when a sheep gets fallen down on its back and it's all four sticking up in the air, that's what a cast down sheep looks like. And if they stay in that condition, they'll die, but the shepherd can turn them upright and get their feet back on solid ground, and off they go running again. It says that we're his people, his well-tended sheep. Now listen to this. It says, enter his gates, or enter with the password, thank you. Anybody got a thank you in here today? It is the season of Thanksgiving. It is the month of November. It is the time for giving thanks. It's a time for a grateful heart. It is a time for using the password, thank you. Come on, somebody, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we're here today. Thank you that your mercy is everlasting. Thank you that you are God, it never fails. Thank you I had food when I got up this morning. Thank you that I had a home. Thank you that my bills are paid. Thank you that I'm gathered in a house of worship this morning in the presence of the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. It says, enter with the password, thank you. Because I believe when we come with a grateful heart, then a joyful heart, a grateful heart is good medicine. But a broken spirit dries up the bones. How many know you, there's sometimes that you got to flip the coin. Instead of talking about everything that's wrong right now, start talking about everything that's right. How many know there's a whole lot of things that are right now? Yes, good news. Hallelujah. Good news. Good news. That's what the gospel is, Brother Bob. It's the good news of the gospel, of the saving power of Jesus, that he came in to seek and to save that which was lost. Keep in mind, it doesn't say he came to seek who was lost. He came to seek what was lost. How many know under the old covenant, there was a whole lot of things that were lost, but under the new covenant, Jesus restores, he multiplies, he gives to his people. Hallelujah. You know, even in the scripture, when we think about the scripture, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want to say that to you in a little bit different form this morning. It may be a little bit off track, but we always say that scripture when somebody has loss, right? Well, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. But blessed be the name of the Lord. I want to say it to you in this way. The Lord gave the old covenant. He gave the law of Moses. He gave the old covenant. He gave the law of Moses. He gave animal sacrifice. He gave those things under the old covenant. I mean, Lord, the Lord gave, but then the Lord taketh away. Yeah. I mean, no, he took away all those things. None of y'all had to bring a sheep or a bullock or turtle doves or pigeons or anything in here today to offer, because God took that away. He took away even the commandments. And I'm not saying that we're not lawless people, but Jesus narrowed it down and said, all the law and the prophets are fulfilled in this, that if you'll love God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, you will fulfill every commandment given. Yeah. Amen? He gave the law. He gave animal sacrifice. He gave the old covenant. But then he took it away. How? Jesus nailed it as a writing of ordinance to the cross and fulfilled every jot and tittle that the commandment demanded. It was given, but it was taken away through Christ. How many know we have life abundantly through the cross of Jesus, that we can live and walk in everything that he paid for on the cross of Calvary for us? Hallelujah. He took away my shame. He took away my sin. He took away everything that under the law that I was disqualified, and he qualified me to be the righteousness of God in Christ. I am righteous through the blood of Jesus. And I'm hanging out today with the righteous brothers. Right? Because we're all righteous. In his sight, the righteousness of God through Christ means he put us back in right standing. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Yep. Hallelujah, with what he has given to us. Enter with the password, thank you. Make yourselves at home talking praise. Thank him, worship him. For God is sheer beauty, all generous in love, loyal always and forever. I like this. It says, make yourselves at home talking praise. Thank him, worship him. How much of our time do we spend doing trash talk instead of doing praise talk? Talking praise. Come on, somebody. Go ahead and repent right now if you need to. Go ahead. But we sometimes spend so much time talking about negativity that we forget to talk positive and talk the encouragement. The scripture says that the password into his presence is thank you. Thank you. Can I just say he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? Whatever is happening around me has no bearing on what the promises of God are in my life. Amen? And so we sometimes can get caught up in talking negativity, and guess whose ears are hearing all your negativity? Your children, your neighbor, your spouse. Amen? How many know it doesn't take very long to walk into some place in a good mood and hear a lot of negativity, and all of a sudden you're brought down to where everybody else is at? We are responsible so often from the atmosphere and the presence of our own thoughts. Amen? That we set the atmosphere in our homes in the morning. Quite often. Do we go out the door in a huff, or do we go out with in an attitude of, it's going to be a good day today? For God is sheer beauty, all generous in love, loyal always and ever. The scripture says that the latter shall be greater than the former. How many of you believe that? How many believe that we are living in a latter? But what the beauty of what God did in Moses and the tabernacle and the commandments and the law, it was beautiful. What he did in Solomon, it was beautiful. Solomon's temple and how the glory shone in them. But how many know we live in the latter day where the glory of the Lord is not in some temple that sits on a hill somewhere, but it's in this his people. Know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? You are where his spirit and his anointing abides and dwells. It's in you. How many know that's greater than any building? How many know this is not the church? The gathering is a church. We're not even a church individually. We're the church as coming together, the ecclesia, the gathering of the church, the people, corporate gathering when we come together in one mind and one heart and one anointing to lift up. Number one, we came today to lift up the name of Jesus. And so many times I think we come in with an attitude to get fixed when we get there. And how many are thankful for those times when you can just come in and get fixed and get filled and get refreshed? But how many know the gathering is a coming in of the thanksgiving of what you've done this week? God, I come to give you praise today because of who you are. I give you glory because of who you are in my life. Hallelujah, that even when we walk through those turbulent waters, we don't walk through it alone. There's a shepherd there nudging you, helping you walk through those things that are hard in your life. The scripture says in Hebrews that by faith, the worlds were formed. I mean, we have faith to believe that God formed the worlds when there was darkness and void and barrenness. Amen? How many of you believe God formed the world in that, and when God hovered over the face of doom, God hovered over chaos, God hovered over darkness, God hovered over barrenness, and what did he do? He said, let there be light, and light shone. How many of you believe God is hovering over darkness even in this hour? And God is speaking. And see, here's what I want you to think about this morning. There's when we're looking at for the God of the gap, amen? The from the promise to the fulfillment, so often there's a gap. And we sometimes question in those seasons and say, God, where are you? What are you doing? And why is it not happening? Amen? When all along God is hovering and working and moving. And I've shared this before. How many know all the trees are losing their leaves right now? But they're not dead. They look dead. They will look dead. They'll look dormant and dead. How many know they're not dead? They're in preparation for what's coming. Right? They are storing up chlorophyll. Chlorophyll is going back down into the tree. It's being stored up for the season that's yet to come, but they're in preparation for winter. How many know winter will not kill those trees? It's not going to kill those trees. But it's going to leave them looking like there's nothing happening. But how many know by design in those trees, they're storing up everything that they're going to need to produce not only leaves, but fruit and seed to be reproduced in the earth. Right? So there's sometimes in our season between the promise and the fulfillment that we think God's not doing nothing when God is strategically putting things in place, moving things around, making things operate for the good of us so that when the seed and the season and the time has come, God has already gone ahead and made preparation. How many know God is already ahead of where you are? God's already ahead of his promises to you. God is already working on your behalf. Just because you don't see it does not mean it's not happening. And so sometimes discouragement can set in sometimes, and we think, God, can it be? Could it possibly be? But the scripture says in Hebrews, by faith we see the world called into existence by God's word, what we see created by what we don't see. And then we skip down a few verses. But it says, by an act of faith, by faith, by an act of faith, Abel brought a better sacrifice to God than Cain. It was what he believed, not what he brought, that made the difference. That's what God noticed and approved as righteous. After all these centuries, that belief continues to catch our notice. By an act of faith, Enoch skipped death completely. They looked all over and couldn't find him because God had taken him. We know on the basis of reliable testimony that before he was taken, he pleased God. It's impossible to please God apart from faith. And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe that he exists, that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. I want to tell you this morning, he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. By faith, Noah built a ship in the middle of a dry land. He was warned about something he couldn't see and acted on what he was told. The result? His family was saved. His act of faith drew a sharp line between the evil of the unbelieving world and the righteousness of the believing world. As a result, Noah became intimate with God. By an act of faith, Abraham said yes to God's call to travel to an unknown place that would become his home. When he left, he had no idea where he was going. By an act of faith, he lived in the country promised him, living as a stranger, camping in tents. Isaac and Jacob did the same, living under the same promise. Abraham did it by keeping his eye on an unseen city with real eternal foundations. The city designed and built by God. By faith, barren Sarah was able to become pregnant. Old woman as she was at the time, because she believed the one who made a promise would do what he said. That's how it happened, that from one man's dead and shriveled loins, there are now people numbering into the millions. By faith, they believed in the promise of what God spoke. But this says, by faith, barren Sarah. The other scriptures say, by faith, Sarah was barren. But this scripture puts a label on her and calls her barren Sarah. Doubting Thomas. Judas. How many of they get labels? Barren Sarah. Doubting Thomas. How many know sometimes we put labels on people, and what happens is we live true to the name we're given. So often labels are put on kids, and they live true to the label that's given to them. Well, we call it barrenness. How many people called her barren Sarah, but God called her fruitful. I don't care what everybody else has called you this morning. I don't care what's been spoken up over you to this point. I don't care what you have called it to this point. How many know they wanted to name Zachariah's baby Zachariah Jr.? And Zachariah says, you are not going to name my baby because God said to name him John. And they said, there's nobody in your family named John. He said, his name will be John. And John means grace of God. When God speaks the grace of God over your life and bursts it out of barren loins, don't let anybody else name your baby or call it anything else. You call it the promise from God. You call it fruitfulness. You call it what God calls it, but don't call me barren. Don't call me unfruitful. Don't call me left out. Don't call me forsaken. You call me blessed of God, because when God's grace begins to move, his mouth was opened. And how many know a priesthood for the first time was able to speak a word of grace that was about to be ushered in by a Messiah that nobody else had been unleashed before? How many know we're not calling it after Zachariah Jr.? We're not calling her barren Sarah. We're going to start calling her fruitful. How many know Sarah called herself barren? Sarah believed herself to be barren. And there may be barren seasons in your life, and it may seem like barrenness, but if God's promises are to you, then you got to trust the God of the gap. You got to trust the God of the promise until you get to the God of the fulfillment. But the gap in between is being obedient, to listen, to be fruitful, to be patient in what God is doing. Because what happens when Sarah gets impatient with the word of God? What happens? You get an Ishmael. You force something that was not God's intention. And do you know what the past and what happens is Ishmael comes back to mock Isaac. And I want to tell you this morning, don't let your past mock what God is doing in your life right now. Don't let anything mock the promise of God. And say when Sarah gave birth, she called him Isaac. And Isaac means laughter. Because God has caused me to laugh. It said God visited Sarah as he said he would. God did to Sarah what he promised. Sarah became pregnant and gave Abraham a son in his old age. And at the very time God had set, Abraham named him Isaac. When his son was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him just as God had commanded. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody say me, Lord. No? Sarah said, God has blessed me with laughter, and all who get the news will laugh with me. She also said, this is the Message Bible, whoever would have suggested to Abraham that Sarah would one day nurse a baby, yet here I am, I've given the old man a son. Who would have thought? Who would have thought? Are there any who would have thoughts in here today? Come on, somebody, who would have thought that I'd be sitting here today? Who'd have thought I would have been standing here today? Who'd have thought God would take an alcoholic man and birth out of him children who would touch the nations of the earth? Who would have thought God could take a family that was raised by a grandmother that didn't and a mom that didn't know how to read, but could cause the nations of the earth to be touched out of the loins of somebody that dared to believe God for the promise and waited and prayed and knelt and interceded for it? Come on, there's some who would have thoughts in the house this morning. Who would have thought God would have brought us to this place in this season? But when his promises are yes and amen, don't you give up in the gap. Don't you give up in between the promise and the fulfillment. Because if God spoke it, if he said it, he's responsible to bring it to pass. And we yield to his purpose, we yield to his voice, we yield to his desire in our life. And how many know we play a role in this, but how many know God causes it to happen? Who would have thought? There's some who would have thoughts in here today. What has been a barren season in your life? Has it been this last couple years have been a season of seems what is barren? But can I just tell you, the leaves are just storing up. The trees are just storing up. Hallelujah. Because I believe there's about to come an unfolding and a blossoming and a seed harvest that will come out of this if we'll be faithful in the gap of what God is doing. But has skepticism and doubt caused you to laugh at the very thought? I mean, if skepticism can creep in. I mean, if doubt can creep in. And what it does is steal your laughter. It steals your joy. It steals your thank you. Come on, somebody. It steals your thank you. And we forget to be thankful, and we forget to be joyful, and we forget to laugh in the face of danger. Wasn't it Simba that laughed in the face of danger? And then his dad roared back. Come on, somebody. And sometimes skepticism and doubt can cause you to laugh at the very thought, not laugh in joy, but laugh in skepticism and cynicism and say, can it be? Has it robbed you of your joy and your strength? Hallelujah. Can he do it? I got one, yes, he can. Don't let it rob you of your joy and your strength. Can he do it? Yes, he can. Can he do it? Yes, he can. We got testimonies in here today. We got promises in here today. And sometimes we fail to remember those, and we fail to remember the memorials, and we fail to give God the glory and the praise in those times and seasons. Thank you. I'm thankful today. Thank you. Thank you, God, for your blessings. And she says to him, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Are you looking in the face of something hard today? Are you looking in the face of something hard? You might have thought it was Ishmael. You might have put all your faith and confidence in Ishmael, but that was not the promise. Isaac was the promise. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? He said, I will come back to you at the appointed time. And I believe God has appointed times in our life. And I believe sometimes we rush God into doing, and we want to push and we want to rush God into doing what we want to do, only when God says, if you'll just work with me, if you'll just be patient, if you'll just trust the promise, if you'll trust the process of the promise. Hallelujah. I mean, when God sent an angel to the tent of Abraham and he said, and your wife Sarah is going to, that I'm going to return about this time next season, and your wife Sarah is going to have a child. And she sat in the tent laughing, looking no doubt in the mirror, picking up her looking glass and saying, did he just say what I thought he said? How can I, an old woman, again have pleasure? I mean, you know, sometimes we sit and we look in the mirror and say, God, I don't see anything. I don't see how this can happen. And the angel of the Lord speaks to Sarah and says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Our barrenness sometimes can be barrenness of heart. And the gap, the process of trusting God from the moment of promise to the moment of fulfillment of what he said he would do. I put down here, laughter is joy's vacation. A cheerful disposition is good for your health. Gloom and doom leave you bone tired. That's Proverbs 17:22. How many know gloom and doom and despair will wear you out? Yeah. It is exhausting. It is physically exhausting, mentally exhausting, and it manifests physically in your body. But how many know when you can get a good, a joyful heart and a cheerful disposition? The scripture says that weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. Weeping is temporary. It's followed by joy. Joy comes in the morning. 2 Samuel 22 says, he makes my feet like hinds' feet and sets me upon high places. Anybody had any deer running around you here lately? They are on the move. Georgia told me the other day, she said, Nana, we saw a couple bucks fighting. I said, you did? I said, do you know what that means? And I said, it's what they call a season of rut. It's rut season. She said, yeah, that means they're about ready to breed. I said, yep, yes, ma'am. That's exactly what that means. And they're a little bit crazy. I mean, no, they are driven. They are driven right now. She had a revelation. She was absolutely right. And we let change that subject and went on to something else totally. Yeah, swing sets or trampolines or something. I don't know. I was like, I'll leave that one up to mom and daddy. But anyway, man, they're jumping everywhere. They're on the move. How many know it's their season? It's a season of recreation. It's a season of fertility. It's a season of life coming forth. Yeah. That's what that's about. How many know there's an excitement in that? Come on, somebody. Yeah. Hallelujah. I've chased a couple squirrels up and down the road here lately, and they are getting it. They got that nut in their mouth, and they're not stopping for nothing. They're like crazy in front of you. And I watched that one leap the other day, and it must have leaped 3 feet from log to log. And I'm like, man, Lord, if that's what making my feet like hinds feet is like, I want it. How many know are ready for some kicking up the heels and having some joy where he takes you to high places and he begins to burst something in you and stir some passion? How many know before Abraham and Isaac could ever produce, Abraham and Sarah could ever produce an Isaac, there had to be some passion stirred? And I'm not just talking about natural passion, but go ahead. But I'm talking about spiritual passion. How many know when God begins to stir something inside of you? My prayer in this season is, Lord, stir passion. Cause us to want to come alive and produce out of a season that seems like it's barren, but you can bring forth life out of everything. Hallelujah. How many know COVID's not in vain? God didn't bring it, but he's not going to waste it. And that he can birth something alive and something new out of this season. But to do that, he wants to stir the passion. How many are ready for God to stir some passion in you? Stir passion in our community. Stir passion in our nation. That your desire is so stirred before your beloved. Hallelujah. That God works the miraculous. Hallelujah. He's God of the gap this morning. If it's important to God, it better be important to you. Amen? If it's important to God, it better be important to us. Hallelujah. Stand with me this morning. How many know Jacob wrestled with the promise of God? He wrestled with an angel. He wrestled with an angel. And the scripture said when he came out of that place that the angel touched him in the hollow of his thigh and he limped. He had a little bit of a gait in his walk from that time forward because God touched him in the hollow of his thigh. Let me just tell you, I walk with somebody who's got a limp anytime because that means they've had an encounter with Jesus. Because I want to tell you, when you really have an encounter with Jesus, you won't walk the same way out of that place. You will walk differently. There'll be something about when you walk into the room, they say, oh yeah, they've been in the presence of an angel. They've been in the presence of Jesus. There should be something about our walk as Christians and people who love God that when we walk in and amongst them, they say, yeah, you know how to get a hold of God. You've been wrestling, and I don't know what you've been wrestling with this morning, but I want you to know the encounter with God will change nations, that will change your walk, that will change hearts. Hallelujah. When he quit fighting, he said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Hallelujah. And we always say that Jacob said that to an angel. I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. But I think the angel said it to Jacob and said, I'm not going to let you go, Jacob, until you bless me. Until your life becomes a blessing. Until you realize the purpose of God on your life. Say amen, baby. Say amen. Hallelujah. Until you realize the purpose of God on your life. Yes. Hallelujah. Preach it. When you realize the purpose of God on your life and you yield to that. I don't care where you've been up to that point. Hallelujah. But when you put your head on the rock and you see the heavens opened and you realize you've been in the presence, and he named that place Bethel because he said, I've been in the presence of God. Hallelujah. I want to stir passion this morning. I want to stir your faith this morning that if you're somewhere between the promise and the fulfillment. If you're somewhere in there between, he's the God of the gap. And I promise you, no matter the outcome, he said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. That he is there in that stream, nudging you until you get to where you need to be, because we are his well-tended sheep. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing us a song, Beth. Let's give him some praise this morning. If you need prayer time this morning, if you need special prayer, we'd love to pray with you. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, today's your day. It's simple. Lord, I receive you. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Whether you're watching here or watching online, if you need an encounter with Jesus, if you want him to stir your passion, if you want him to move, if you need to see the God of the gap this morning, just reach your hands up wherever you are, whether you're in your bed, whether you're in your living room, whether you're in this church. Say, God, I trust you. I trust you in between, because I know you're bringing about promises that only you can do. Hallelujah.